to the 91st number of the song. And you'll recognize this because it was one of the four verses that we chose to place our spotlight on as we were fasting and praying. Amen. And I'm just going to give you a heads up. Now, the last 3 weeks, we talked about fasting. Amen. Amen. And we talked about how Jesus went through his fast. And at the end of the fast, remember, not at the beginning of the fast, but at the end of the fast is when the devil got busy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so we thank God certainly for the results that we have received during the fast. Certainly the things that he has made come to light amongst us, causing us to realize that not everybody in the house is of the house. Amen. I said that before, and it's just worth saying again. Not everybody in the house is of the house. Amen. Amen. So now you've had more than enough time to get there. And, and Sister Phyllis, I see you got a break today. And that Sister Tracy's in the back, and she's put together a very good PowerPoint presentation. Amen.
Excellent.
Amen. And I also want to acknowledge the young men, Julie and Joseph. Amen. They turned their heads like, excellent job, gentlemen. Thank you for just being great ushers today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then where's Brianna? Brianna Bell, where
she's here.
Hi. Stand up, girl. Try to tell people about you. You back here sitting down. Amen. Thank you for your participation in the worship service, and certainly Miss Smith. Even though I see you, I be looking. I see you. Amen. We just thank you, each and every one of you, for your presence. And of course, I can't leave out my road dog, because he rode with me today, and so I thank God for him.
Amen.
And so with that being said, you've had more than enough time to get to Psalms 91. And like I said, I'm giving you a heads up. Just those four, the next three sermons after this one, are going to be those passages of Scripture that we pulled out during our fasting and our prayer, okay? So I'm doing this intentionally. Yeah, there's some intentionality to this. Amen. Amen. And so it reads on this wise, Psalms 91, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. And it reads on this wise, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And so just for a few moments of your time, I just want to talk from the thought that how God keeps us. How God keeps us. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How God keeps us. And if you recall, the last three Sundays, we talked about Jesus as he went through his fast, and how he was tempted at the end of the fast, and how the devil came at him. And one of those temptations, he had the audacity to come at Jesus after Jesus had already, smacked him down once. Thank God that there is Jesus. Amen. And that Jesus smacked him down once the first time by simply quoting the scripture. Because you realize that in and of yourself, you do not have the power to fight the devil. In and of yourself, you just weren't built for that fight. Amen. You were built for other things, but you were not built to fight the devil. And so what Jesus does in his fasting experience, he shows us the best way, the only way, that we can defeat the devil. Now, even with Jesus having quoted scripture unto the devil will at times take scripture himself. And what he will do is he'll take the scripture and quote the scripture out of context.
Amen.
And not so, instead of you having a text, you now have a con. When you take it out of context, you never mind. You'll get it on the way home. But when Jesus quotes the scripture, he quotes it correctly. He quotes it in the correct context. He quotes it in such a way as it speaks directly to what the situation is. And so here it is, we find ourselves going to the 91st number of the psalm, because it is the psalm that the Lord laid on my heart for us to look at as we pray. And it was simply because of the incident that occurred here. How is it that here it is, we are a church and we certainly welcome all whomsoever will to come within, but and we invite specifically the world to come in to the church. Amen. We want the world to come in to the church. I know some of y'all are tripping because you're saying, but wait a minute, you know, this is God's house. Not just anybody can come up in God's house. But the fact of the matter is that the house of God was made such that whomsoever will to come in. Because otherwise, how would they hear the word of God? I've been to many a folk house, and I might hear some folk quote scripture, but it's one of those, well, God knows my heart. And or they'll say, and I'm not even sure that's scripture. Yeah, God know your heart. But the point is that where else can you come and have at least some reliability about what is being said? Because at the end of the day, it's being preached by men and women. And then from the pulpit. And our prayer is, and certainly my prayer is every time you hear me pray, is that the Lord will hide me behind the cross, that he will think with my mind and speak with my mouth, so that the words that I would speak would not be of myself, but they would be of him. So if I mess it up, the Spirit is behind me, and you know what? He'll form it and fashion it in such a way that those who don't know will then hear it in a way in which they need to hear it. It's not because of I'm so good and that I know so much. It's just that the Spirit of the Lord is in his word.
Amen.
And because God is in his word, I can mess it up sometimes, but he always finds a way to form it and fashion it in such a way that you hear that which you're in need of this day. Amen. That's how come my prayer is that you don't leave this place the same way that you came in. Amen. But that the word of God, not Stan Evans, not Pastor Evans, but that the word of God will make it so that you receive that which you need this day so that you can make it for the rest of the week. Because some of y'all ain't going to show up on a Wednesday. Amen. I ain't picking on nobody, but all I got to say is that, Sister Florence was there last Wednesday, and she joined Sunday.
Amen.
So I'm just praying, I'm just praying that, some of us would have that same fire, same desire. We had people, we had on a business meeting, they said we had the most people ever show up at a business meeting. I'm like, I don't even want to count the number of people at the business meeting. Let me count the number of people who are at the prayer meeting. Let me count the number. If you want to find who are serious, you come to when we have a prayer meeting, okay? Because prayer meeting, let's just face it, all right? Not everybody pray the same. Some people pray and put you to sleep. Amen. Don't look at the person next to you. Just look at me. But if you want to see who's serious, come to Bible study and come to Sunday school.
Amen.
And that will give you a good barometer of what a church look like. What are these people doing? What are these people about? Are they about the Lord? And so when I was learning. And so lest you say I just wandered all about, never hit the text. Let's go directly to the text here. In the text, we find that, and the way that the 91st Psalm is kind of put together, we find that the first two verses are of an individual. That individual is then responded to by in verses, I think, 3 through 13. And then God himself speaks in verses 14 through the end of the psalm. And so these just first two verses are an individual, and the individual is making an observation. And so what he talks about really are just three different things. How God keeps us. How God keeps us. And in these two short verses, he talks about how God keeps us. And now When I was a baby police officer, many moons ago, one of the first things they taught us to do was to shoot, right? And one of the things that they taught you to shoot, you know, I had a wheel gun. Not a real gun, but a wheel gun. W-H-E-E-L. And it was a revolver. And it had six shots. And so you had to be real good because all you had was six shots. So one of the things they taught you was the difference between concealment and cover.
Yes.
The difference between concealment and cover. Now, concealment and cover means one thing to a police officer, and it means something else to somebody who was in the service. So during the time of the riot, they had to pull us all aside and say to us, don't tell any of the Army guys to cover you. Because what does that mean? Well, you tell them to cover you, then all of a sudden you got ammunition going down the range. Because their idea of cover is that, right, you put the bullets down range so nobody pop up.
Right.
But the idea of cover in a police sense is that they're supposed to have their weapons trained, okay, or pointed at, can I just make it plain, where you think there might be some trouble.
Okay.
So you say, okay, partner, cover me. And so, but you have to know the difference between concealment and cover. Because see, concealment simply hides you.
Yeah.
Cover allows you to kind of like poke your head out without getting shot at. And so I'm just so glad that my God doesn't spend any time trying to explain to us the difference between concealment and cover. He does them both. And then, not only that, I'll give it all away. Not only that, but then he puts you in a castle. So come with me if you will. I'm not gonna keep you long. I'm gonna hit these 3 points, and then we're going to have communion, and then I'm gonna send you on your way. I figured, but the last 3 Sundays, I kept you a good bit. So this time, if I cut you loose early, it's because I owe you some time. Yeah, you heard preachers say that before, right? Like, dude, you closed like 5 doors. Don't be tripping. But if you get the sentence sermon, you get the sermon. And the sentence sermon is this: the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. You get that, you get the sermon. What do you mean, preacher? Well, the word of God says this: he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High is concealed. Concealment is when you're not really hiding, but don't nobody know you're there. Concealment is kind of like the cat who sits in the cut. Y'all know where I'm coming from? The cat who sits in the cut. You know, maybe in the cut might be in the alley. That's why I was always telling my kids when they were growing up, and they still growing up, don't go down the alley because ain't nothing good happens in the alley. Can I get amen? Look, I ain't even begging for amen on this one. If you don't know that, let me help you right now. Don't go down the alley. Nothing good ever happens in the alley. Most of the reports that I used to read when I was sitting up there and before I would assign them to other detectives usually began, I was walking down the street and I turned down the alley and something terrible happened. Nothing good happens in the alley. Why? Because people who sit in the alley are sitting in the cut. And because they're sitting, can I make it plain? The cut is a doorway. The cut is behind a car. The cut is someplace where I can see you, but you can't see me. I can see into the street, but you can't see me from the street. I am concealed. I have been hidden. I've hidden myself from prying eyes, but I'm prying on you and hoping to prey on you in some cases, right? But can't nobody in the street see you? And it's kind of like, but you know what? You can be concealed, but being in the public. Everybody can see you and not see you. What you talking about, preacher? Well, let me make this plain. You know, it's like our homeless friends. You see them, but you don't really see them. You see them at the freeway entrance. You see them, but you don't really see them. You see them walking down the street, talking to themselves and talking to pushing the shopping cart. You see them, but you don't really see them. You see them at the library. They're at the library. You done stepped over a couple of them to get to the front of the library door. You see them, but you don't really see them. They're kind of concealed. And you know, and ain't nobody messing with them. And you know what I used to find? That some of my best witnesses were homeless people.
Yeah. Well,
because people ain't looking at them as people. They just, okay, this is somebody to step over, step around, somebody to avoid. But if you take the time to talk to them, they are real people who have real issues and have real problems and have real souls who need Jesus, just like you needed Jesus. I'm being nice because I said needed. And who needed Jesus, and then, but somebody took the time out of their day, out of their schedule, to share with them that there is a God who sits high and looks low, who had a son, who has a son by the name of Jesus, who died and rose again, not just for you, not just for the Kobe Bryants of the world, not just for people who got stuff, but people who ain't got no stuff. He died for them as well.
Amen.
You may not be in the cut, but matter of fact, maybe you know, you like David. Matter of fact, let me talk to you about David, about concealment. You know, David, when David was a child in his father's home, old Saul had messed up. Saul had messed up, and God had. And you know, God is interesting. He will fire you from a job and let you keep working it. He has fired Saul, and so and tells Samuel, and Samuel becomes upset, and Samuel cries for a minute, and then God says, okay, when you get done crying, I got work for you to do. And so this is what I need you to do. I need you to go to Jesse's house.
Yes.
Go to Jesse's house, and then that will be where you will find the next king of Israel. And so Samuel gets on his donkey, and he takes something to be sacrificed with him, because that's the story he had to tell Saul, so Saul wouldn't be like, where are you going? And so Samuel makes his way to Jesse's house. And Samuel runs through all the sons that he has in the house. And the Lord said, and he sees the first one, he says, man, that's a nice, strong, tall-looking fella. He good complexion, muscular and all that. He'd make a good king. And the Lord said, no, not him, no. And so he said, no, it's not you, Doc. You go back. And so he had the other son. He said, well, here's one. He not quite like his brother, but still, you know, he looked like something. And the Lord says, no. See, this is how you got in trouble last time, Samuel. You were looking at the outside. And see, God looks at the inside. And so finally he went through all the sons who were in Jesse's house, in his house, all the sons that were in his house. And so Samuel said, well, Jesse, you got any other boys up in here? And he said, well, I and I'm just using my homiletical exegetical imagination. I can just imagine scratching his head. And he said, well, there's that one boy. He out with the sheep. We ain't thought a whole lot about him, but I mean, if you want to see him, Samuel, I guess you can. This is, well, man, go get him. So, because after this, about this time, Samuel tired. And he like, well, just go get him so I can get done. And so he sends him out to go get, and he brings back David. And the Lord says, this is the one. And I just come by to let you know, can I just put a pin here? Is that sometimes God will hide you in plain sight, even in your own house.
Yes.
Oftentimes, members of your own family don't know anything about your anointing. What it is that God has planned for you. They just know you because you the last child. You ain't gonna, you know, you out there with the sheep. You out there smelling like outside. You know, I can just imagine Dave, you don't even hear anything about Jesse's wife, but David's mama. But I'm quite sure she made dinner a couple of times. And she said, boy, come in the house, but take you a bath before you come up in here. Smelling like sheep and all. And so, I can see that, right? Because we do that in our own homes. And some of that may have even even happened to you. You was out on the back 40 somewhere, and on the back of somebody's mind, yeah, your mama loves you and your daddy loves you, but you the last one. You bringing up the tail. You know, all the others, we expecting great things out of them, but we ain't expecting a whole lot out of you. So you just be happy being the last one. You just be happy being the baby. You be happy being a baby, but you don't know what it is that God has planned for you. You might be the middle child. You know, middle children, I hear this all the time from middle children. Well, you know, I was the middle child, and you know, they kind of just, you know, the baby got all the love, and the eldest, you know, he got, there you go, he got all the goods, but everything else, you know, middle kids, they don't get nothing but grief. So, you know, I'm just saying, you will be hid even in your own house. And God has a way of concealing you even in positions and situations where you know, people are not even paying no attention to you. You just like the homeless person. We step over. Ain't nobody paying no attention to you. But see, that's God's way of hiding you until he needs you. See, some of y'all don't get it. God is hiding you. He's hiding you because he's got something for you. He don't want you to mess it up. So oftentimes he don't tell you. You know, you ever had a surprise party that wasn't a surprise? Okay, let me run. You ever have a surprise party that was not a surprise?
Yes.
How did you feel? I sure wish it had been a surprise. It would have been more fun. Amen. There you go. Somebody who had a surprise party that wasn't a surprise. God hides you to keep you, because when your time comes, even you ain't going to know it's your time. God keeps you by concealing you. But not only does he keep you by concealing you, he keeps you covered. Verse says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Yes.
Cover offers you not just concealment, but it offers you protection.
Yes, sir.
See, being covered means that you have an opportunity to see what's going on around you. You can see all the foolishness, all the shenanigans, all the tomfoolery, but none of that is going to come nigh unto me, because I'm just watching you. I'm watching you because I know that my time is going to come. And so I got to keep myself straight, because when it blows up, I don't want to get caught in the blow up. Some people, whole office has been cleaned out, and you're trying to figure out why you're the only one still in your office. All right, just think and marinate on that. You ever wonder why, you know, everybody else is getting something and you're getting passed over? You find yourself training your supervisor and find out that your supervisor's supervisor is somebody that you train and you know his job too. And it just so happens that what? God is covering you. God is putting you in a position where people who you have trained and who you have given leadership to, people who respect you, are now in positions over you. So when the axe falls, it falls on everybody but you. Why? Because everybody above you is somebody who you've done right, you treated well, and you told them the right way. And they say, even though the madness took place, where he was, he wasn't a part of the madness. We're going to protect our friend. We're going to protect our mentor. We're going to protect that one who made sure that we got what we got. And don't you know that God has a way of you rewarding, of being rewarded for that which you've done?
Yes, yes.
It don't always come in money. Sometimes it comes when you need a friend. You know what? My wife had a friend who just had a parent pass. Now, I don't know if he's saved or not, more than likely not, because he was all discombobulated. Discombobulated. He was just all over the place. And so my wife and her friends helped this guy. They said, well, this is what you need to do. Come on, let us help you. And they began to take him by the hand, and they walked him through what it is that he needs to be walked through. His mama didn't have anything on paper. She didn't have, I don't even think she had a way to pay for her demise. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can just put a pin here and let you know that, ladies and gentlemen, that's something that you need to take care of. Don't put that on your kids.
Yes.
Don't put that on your kids. You know, when Mr. Man came this way, and I called him Mr. Man because I just can't remember his name. But when Mr. Man came this way during the business meeting, one of the things he asked, one of the questions he asked was, do you have a will or trust? Because if you want to see somebody get taken advantage of, let somebody die and let that individual not have anything in on paper, nothing taken care of. They're going to make a lot of money off of y'all. Because when somebody passes, you're not in your right mind. When my dad passed, and I preached the service, I don't remember who was there. I don't remember what I said. The only thing that I remember is that people signed a book. That's why I make you sign a book. If I'm ever unconscious in the hospital, there's going to be a book at the foot of my bed. There's going to be a sign-in, sign-out sheet. I'm not going to be conscious, but I'm going to open that book. And hopefully the Lord would not have taken away my ability to read, and I'm going to see who was there. I'm just letting you know. I don't remember any of that. I do remember that there were people there. And if I had to take care of all that business by myself, if there was not already something that was laid out, I would have paid out a whole lot of money that I would not have had to pay. All right, that's just good sense, amen? Yeah. But here we find that David, if we look at David again, David could get covered. He, at one of those points in his life, when Saul finally found out that David had been basically called to be his replacement, he began to chase David, and not just chasing to play tag. You know, he wanted to play tag with him with a spear. And so he was chasing David down, and David had to leave town. And so he got to a point, to a place where he ran to a cave called the Cave at Adullam.
Yes, sir.
Now, the Cave at Adullam, I looked it up, and you know what? Because I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to do this real good word study, and I'm going to tell the people what Adullam means. And guess what Adullam means?
Adullam.
Adullam. It don't mean nothing. It's a cave. But the thing is, the Cave of Adullam shows up also two other times in the life of David. Each time that he has to run to the Cave of Adullam, it's so that he might receive cover from Saul. You see, he run to the Cave of Adullam because the Cave at Adullam was a stronghold.
Yeah.
It is a stronghold, and it's a stronghold in this sense is that there are many, if you think of one way in, one way out, oh no. The Cave of Adullam had many ways in and many ways out. It had lots of hiding places in it, even to such a degree that Saul went into the cave at Adullam to take care of his personal business. And while he was yet in the cave, David had an opportunity to kill Saul.
Yeah.
But he didn't. What he did do was he did cut off a piece of his cloak.
Uh-huh.
Now check this out. How do you not know? But see, that's how God will conceal you.
That's it.
But I mean, if you think about it, you're doing your due, right? And you in a cave, and I don't know about you, but I've been in caves, and the caves kind of freak me out because they're dark. You don't know what's up in there with you.
Right.
You know, you're doing the due, and you're trying to, you know, get it done so you can go. And so here is Saul. He's in a cave. If he's anything like me, he's like, you know, I'm trying to get this so I can go. But David is able to walk up on him, not kill him, but cut off a piece of his coat.
Yeah.
And to such a degree that when Saul leaves and he gets down the hill, then David comes out and starts yelling at Saul, hey, I had the opportunity to take you out, but God wouldn't let me. All I've come by to say is that God has a way to cover you, even when your enemies are among you.
Come on.
Even when your enemies are among you, you know what? How many years you done worked on this job, and how many times have people tried to take you out? Matter of fact, you ain't even got to be working on a job. Maybe you just got friends and family. I said friends and family. I said friends and family that have tried to take you out. They done lied on you. They done cheated on you. They done, they have told stories about you, and yet and still, God has covered you from their shenanigans. Not only will God conceal you, not only will God cover you, but then God will put you in a castle. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Not only can God keep you concealed and covered, but He'll put you in a castle. And that's all a fortress is a castle. And see, I had to use it because all the literary techniques I was using, you know, alliteration, requires that I had to find a C. And so the best C that I could find was castle. A fortress is a castle. Man, I just told y'all how to preach and you just didn't get it.
I did.
He'll put you in a castle. But notice, God doesn't rely on the castle to keep you. He is... As opposed to castle, can I just say kingdom? He moves you into the kingdom. You see, not just a castle, but a kingdom. And so because He's the King of the kingdom, it is the King who keeps all the subjects in the kingdom. He might use a fortress, He might use a family, He might use a friend. But at the end of the day, it is the King who keeps you in the kingdom. How do you get into the kingdom? Who is this kingdom? Who is this King? Well, I'm glad you asked, because you ask all of the best questions. Who is this King of glory? He is the King, Lord God, strong and mighty. The Lord God, mighty in battle. The Lord that conceals me for my protection, who covers me with His shadow. That same God is my refuge and my fortress. In Him will I trust. How does one make entry into the castle? Well, I'm glad you asked again, because there's only one way to make your way into the castle, and that is through the Son of the King. Amen. Who is the Son of the King? Well, I'm glad you asked. He says that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, that no man can come unto the Father, who is the King, unless He comes through me. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to be done. He that believeth shall have an everlasting life. He that believeth on the Father and the Son shall have an everlasting life. And just like we said earlier, I got everlasting life. I got it. I'm glad it. And I'm glad that I've got it. I've got an everlasting life, not because of anything that I have done, but because Jesus died. Not because I was all that good, not because I was all that great, not because that I was even deserving of it, but in spite of all that He knew about me, He died on Calvary's cross. Not because of anything that He had done, but so that He might receive me into His kingdom. So that I might be concealed, so that I might be covered by His blood, so that I might be covered by His death, His burial, His resurrection, so that I might call Him Father, so that I might call upon the name of the Son, so that I might be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God has gone forward and is doing those things that God has purposed them to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of Him.